Friends, let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. There's a story in Genesis where Jacob and his father-in-law Laban are going to make an agreement. And so they pile up a bunch of rocks. And part of what these rocks do is they actually make a border between them. These guys are not getting along, and so they're each going to stay on their own side, a time-honored technique used by siblings who are forced to share a bedroom. Perhaps you remember this. But it turns out that this pile of rocks is more than a boundary to keep apart discontented relatives. Laban adds this: this heap is a witness between you and me. He says it one more time to emphasize the point. This heap is a witness. I will not pass beyond this heap to you. You will not pass beyond this heap to me for harm. The stones are a witness. A witness. You know, someone who gives testimony off of something they observe, often in a courtroom or some kind of disputation. The stones that form a heap aren't merely props in the action of the story. They're characters. They're creatures who participate, who have an active role in what God is up to. I tell you, if these people were silent, the stones would shout out. In the Bible, it's not only stones that bear witness. Heaven and earth bear witness too. In our scriptures, we discovered that soil opens up its mouth and the land vomits out inhabitants. Seas are rebuked, mountains tremble, rivers flee, hills bow down. In the prophets, we meet trees who weep and lament and clap their hands. Stars go to battle and locusts act as God's armies. And we see it here in the story we hear today as Jesus continues his march towards Jerusalem and crucifixion. In the very next scene that follows today's Palm Sunday reading, Jesus stands on the Mount of Olives and weeps over the city of Jerusalem. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another. Jesus is talking about the actual city of Jerusalem, buildings and temples that house people, the city's children. Jesus weeps for all of it, for olive groves decimated by fire, for the toppled temple, for the land caked in the blood of slaughtered people. It isn't unusual to hear that a place is sacred, right? That land is sacred. And we're part of a religious tradition where we can't separate ourselves from our participation with other creatures in the story, creatures alongside of other created beings that swim and crawl and pulse and grow, that teem and wriggle. If we're tempted to break the world into categories of people and stuff that people use, the Bible thwarts our efforts. Because over and over in the story of our faith, we discover that creatures have a vocation, a particular role to play in the drama of salvation. Jesus tells us to be like birds, and we're to look for yeast to understand the kingdom of God. In Mark's gospel, Jesus makes a home with wild beasts in the wilderness. Lions shut their mouths at God's command in Daniel. She bears attack as part of God's response to the bullying of Elisha. We discovered that God has to do with all of this. God loves the cosmos so much that God offers up God's only son. This God loves the world, invites all sorts of creatures to participate, to have a role in salvation. You might have noticed there's another creature in this story. It's a little donkey that's never been ridden, who is acquisitioned by Jesus' disciples. The writer of Luke doesn't tell us which disciples went to Bethany to get this little creature. We don't know how long it took or the names of the owners, but we do know one thing: the colt was untied. Because Luke tells us this five times in the story, five different times. You will find tied there a colt. Untie it. Someone may ask, why are you untying the colt? You will untie it and say, Lo, someone asked, why are you untying it? In case you missed it, the disciples are untying a colt, right? Just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. Okay. This is very important to Luke. Very important that we understand this detail. The lords of this animal, as they're called in the Greek, are to hand over this animal to the Lord, to Jesus. Whatever possession these lords, these owners think they have over this little colt, it's upended in this story. The Lord needs it. This creature participates in a story that's bigger than ownership and contract and possession. It's taking its role in this good and whole creation. It turns out that this story, as we heard, connects to another story in the life of Israel. Lo, your king comes, triumphant and victorious is he, humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is how the prophet Zechariah imagines this peaceable king riding into Jerusalem, no longer at war, no longer in need of chariots or war horses. And then the scene of Zechariah, we learn that God is sending spring rain, giving earth new life that provides vegetation for everyone. The earth will also flourish, and people with it. And I suppose that means donkeys and colts will flourish too. Creatures of all kinds will find redemption in this world that spreads out before Jesus. John's gospel reminds us that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The whole world, the cosmos, stars and caterpillars, kiwi birds and kiwi fruit, bacteria, spiders. God invites God's life of redemption into every creature, every grain of sand and every dandelion and every goldfish. Think about what an upheaval this is from the way we're formed to think about other creatures, how our social and economic order forms us. We're brought up in a system that divides people from commodities. All that other stuff, oceans, animals, trees, all of it is neutral material used to benefit people, to make us happier or richer, or to give us more space or more stuff. Even our language of conservation moves in this direction. The earth is a resource. It's something we use, and so we should use it sparingly. But not for Jesus. For Jesus, the cosmos are this prophetic colt in these singing stones. The disciples untie this animal. It's the same word for loosing or setting free. It enters one form of life and participates in another. It's part of a different story, a story of creaturely redemption that involves all of us. The writer G.K. Chesterton wrote the only poem I know of from the perspective of the donkey in this story. In Matthew's version, Jesus is on a donkey, so the poem is called The Donkey, and this is how it goes. When fishes flew and forests walked and figs grew upon thorn, some moment when the moon was blood, then surely I was born. With a monstrous head and a sickening cry, and ears like errant wings, the devil's walking parody of all four-footed things. The tattered outlaw of the earth, of ancient crooked will, starve, scourge, deride me, I am dumb. I keep my secret still. Fools, for I also had my hour. One far, fierce hour and sweet, there were shouts about my ears and palms before my feet. I think of this donkey, recalling for this moment when palms and cloaks are at its feet as she carries the savior of the cosmos to Jerusalem. This creature, unattractive, even monstrous, a beast of burden, enters the story of God's peaceable triumph over death and destruction forever. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. God becomes an animal, a human animal, a creature. And as a creature, God heals our creaturely divisions and violence. It turns out we all have a common job: to offer praise and thanksgiving to the Creator who brings life and wholeness. Creation has been untied, loosed. Creaturely hierarchies of possession and ownership that we inherit, the cruelty and disregard we enact upon other creatures, Jesus heals it. It is spring, and the azaleas in my front yard are in full bloom, like fuchsia. I saw the first bees have shown up to begin pollinating our gardens, these really juicy, fat bumblebees. There are birds pecking at the ground and hoping of finding their lunch. And at night, I hear owls, this eerie song that stills all other creatures. The Coreopsis I planted last year is reemerging in these tufts of green that are waking up from a bed of mulch. Jesus comes to redeem all of it. And so this week is a holy invitation to notice the creation that bears witness, trees that praise and rocks that cry out. And together we'll celebrate the story. We'll mark it in our lives alongside other creatures. We'll bathe our feet in a creature called water. We'll sit with creatures of dark and light and remember Jesus' final days. We'll gather in the creature of sound and depart in the creature of silence. We will gather our animal bodies that are destined for dust and dirt, but alive again in the care of God's eternal love that is stronger even than death. and even the stones will cry out. Amen.